This is the John Clayton Show.
Brought to you by Coors Light, the world's most refreshing beer.
On 710 ESPN Seattle.
And good morning, everybody, on this Saturday, Memorial Day weekend. Don't forget to remember to honor all the people that served you so well in this great country and what they've done for all of us. Memorial Day is, of course, a great day to just honor everybody that has served in the military and done all these things. Hey, we're taking your phone calls at 866-979-ESPN, 206-421-ESPN. Let's get going with some headlines. Well, the Mariners last night lose 6-2 and almost set another record of bad things. They had 15 runners stranded on base. Wade LeBlanc lost the game at 2-2. He's now for the season. Team's now 23-30. They have lost, 28, 29 games now. It's just been horrible because they started out 13-2, and so now they're at 30. So 28 of the last 38 games they've lost. Series continues today at 1 o'clock. Pre-game starts at 12. They do have Uze Kikuchi on the mound, trying to at least do it. He's won five of at least the games he's played. They've won five out of the last six, and that's something that they haven't really had a chance to do is say win. So they'll continue on. Husky women softball team get a 3-0 victory over Kentucky. Have a chance to advance now if they can win tonight at 7 o'clock. But a great win, 3-0. Good pitching, all those different things. Husky team is really, really good. As far as news in the National Football League, Ndamukong Suh did agree and sign his contract, 1 year, $9.25 million. Gerald McCoy had a visit to the Cleveland Browns, left without a contract, is heading to Baltimore on Tuesday. Reports are that he's had offers between $10 and $11 million on a one-year deal, and there's about 10 teams that put offers in. Doesn't look as though Seattle is going to be high up in the bidding. And those are our headlines. 866-979-ESPN, 206-421-ESPN. Let's go to JB in Renton. Hey, JB.
Hey, Mr. Clayton. How are we doing this fine Saturday morning, my friend?
Doing well.
All right. You're talking about Gerald McCoy. No. Of course, it's the money. That's what the NFL is all about. But I think Gerald McCoy wants to go to a team where he can have the opportunity to win a Super Bowl.
Right. Oh, I would agree.
Looking at his age right now and looking at production in the NFL, I would rather go to a team that I can at least get an opportunity to play. He's never played in a playoff game.
Yeah, where I think it would like Indy to me is really intriguing for him because they're a good team. You can argue they're among the top teams in the AFC right now. They've got Andrew Luck back. They've been drafting well. They drafted five guys on defense, and he's that leader that could go there with six Pro Bowls behind him and really help out.
Yeah, definitely. I tell you right now, he could go to New Orleans and terrorize his old team over there and help out because Sheldon Rankins, I don't know if he's going to be ready for the start of the year. He's coming off that Achilles surgery that he had on his leg. And I don't know if he's going to be ready for the start of the year.
That's true because he's not really practicing yet. And but I don't think they have the cap room and the finances to be able to do that.
Well, I think they're like, 8.5, 8.8 million under the cap. Mickey Loomis is a pretty good supplier as far as managing the cap and finagling that money, and getting things done. They could possibly get something done with him and put him, there's always a will, there's a way to get him in there.
Right.
As far as that's concerned. But, and just looking at it, I think if he wants to go to a team to at least give him a chance to play in a playoff, or possibly to a Super Bowl, why not go back to a 4-3 defense? The way where he's better at the 3 technique than he is going to a 3-4 and maybe trying to play a 5 technique or play the 0 technique. Mm-hmm. That is not what he's all about.
No, and that's what I find is so strange. Here's one of your best players, and you go down there, and they've been drafting for 4-3 forever. And so now you change to a 3-4. So now McCoy doesn't fit. You lose Jason Pierre-Paul with an injury that's going to knock him out in a car accident for the season with his neck. And, you've just drifted backwards. You're not getting better.
No, and then you pick up Ndamukong Suh. That's a guy. He's not only he's a guy that just coasts through the regular season, his production is not what it used to be. I think he's right now. Basically, he's going name only.
Right.
Just his name. You know, I don't know where Bruce Arians, and I understood they needed the money to sign their offseason acquisitions and all of this and that. But you don't think Gerald McCoy would have maybe taken a signing bonus and lowered his base to help him out?
He would help him out, yeah. But I think they felt they didn't want to pay him $13 million. But still, to come back and pay $9.25 for Sue, that's curious to me.
It is curious. And going to a 3-4, Ndamukong Suh, the 3-4 defense, I mean, I'm just – sometimes it's just a head-scratcher to watch and see some teams, how they try to justify rationale some of the moves that they make. That is a very peculiar move of taking that guy. Gerald McCoy, to me, honestly, I think he's a little more productive than Suh is at this point in time right now.
Yeah, agreed.
Yeah. So, I mean, it made no sense. With it. That's why they're the Tampa Bay Buccaneers.
Uh-huh,
but
that's
it made
true.
No sense in my view, the way I look at it. I just think Gerald McCoy is still more productive, but he's productive in a 4-3 defense.
Mm-hmm. Agreed.
And the money, you know, Cincinnati, Cleveland, which I think is up and coming, but Gerald McCoy needs to go somewhere where he can still contribute and still be on a team that could possibly get him to the playoffs, you know, because, you know, you look at Dez Bryant. Dez Bryant was another guy that talked about getting to the playoffs and playing in the playoffs. You know, when you start to get across your 30s, if you're not a quarterback, if you're starting to cross those 30s, you need to really look at where your career is at right there as far as having the opportunity to play in the playoffs or possibly go to a Super Bowl, you know. That's what some of these players, I think, you know, you chase money all through your career. You need to start wanting to chase some type of legacy at least.
And that's the thing. I mean, McCoy's one of those guys that, you know, kind of like with Cortez Kennedy. I mean, he does everything you possibly want. He's had 54.5 sacks. He's been 6 Pro Bowls. He's trying everything possible, and the team around him just hasn't followed through. You know, he's offered leadership. He's great in the community. All those things are positive, but the team hasn't been positive. And now you get rid of him. You bring in Suh. You're trying to get a new culture. And you know, listen, Sue's a great player. But, I mean, he doesn't put all the effort out.
No, he doesn't. You looked at him last year with the Rams.
Yeah.
I mean, he got $14 million to play just in the playoffs. You know, Allen, I mean, you know, do you want that for 16 games? Just a guy just coasting through? And then now you're putting him in a 3-4 defense?
Mm-hmm.
I mean, I just don't get that one. You lose Jason Pierre-Paul. He's gone.
Uh-huh.
You know? I just don't understand their rationale over there. But we'll find out when Bruce Arians put him on the field. But I think Gerald McCoy would suit himself. I would leave those 3-4 defenses alone, and I'll go straight to a 4-3 defense. You got a 4-3 defense, we'll talk.
Mm-hmm.
And you're a playoff team, we'll talk. You know, I just wouldn't waste my time going around some of these teams. They got the money, because Cleveland has got like $32 million under the cap.
Right.
Or something like that. Yeah, they got the money to give you, but are you wasting your time over there? That's the question you got to ask yourself.
Uh-huh.
Well, I know he left yesterday. He left without a contract yesterday from Cleveland, right?
Well, you can understand that because, I mean, this is the first time that he's ever been a free agent. You know, because he's always been tied up by Tampa because he's been one of their top players. And so this is his first chance to go around. But, you know, Baltimore, I mean, that's the same problem he was in when they made the switch to Tampa Bay. They're a 3-4 defense.
Yes. That's what I'm saying. Going to Baltimore is the same situation, you know? When you're playing that 2 gapping, you're getting beat up down there, Mr. Clayton.
Right.
You're getting beat up. Now, 1 gap penetrate is it's much more easier. When you're playing that 2 gap penetration, you're getting beat up down there. At his age, I wouldn't even entertain him. I tell him things but no thanks.
Yeah.
And I know they got the money, but I tell him things but no thanks. I'm not going there to play that 2 gapping. Not at that point in time in his career. I'm very interested to see how Ndamukong Suh work out over there. And he doesn't have the kid over there from the Rams on his side, Aaron Donald,
right,
to take up a lot of the slack. Yeah, who does he have in Tampa to take up that type of slack?
Mm-hmm. Exactly. And that's the thing. Yep. I mean, they've been trying to draft better for the 4-3 defense. And that's it. I mean, they're a 4-3 light defense, and now they're trying to get bigger, and they couldn't add anything because they didn't have enough cap room.
No. They were just flat out busted when it came to the cap.
Right.
To at least try to entertain that.
Uh-huh.
Now, just to take that personnel that you have and turn that into a 3-4 defense, good luck. Good luck with that, because it doesn't work overnight.
Right.
You know, you have to bring that personnel in to switch to that. You know. And I assume they convinced themselves that Jerry McCoy just was not going to play the zero technique or the five technique.
Yep, that's pretty much it. And they figured he's not worth 13, but then to come back and pay Sue 9.25. Listen, they needed to get somebody to replace McCoy, but it's just bizarre. Hey, JB, thank you for the phone call.
Mr. Clayton, happy Memorial Day, my friend. Happy Memorial Day to all the soldiers out there, too.
All right, sounds good. 866-979-ESPN, 206-421-ESPN. It's the John Clayton Show, 710 ESPN Seattle.
You're listening to the John Clayton Show on 710 ESPN Seattle and 710sports.com. Now, more John Clayton.
866-979-ESPN, 206-421-ESPN. Let's go to Raider Jim. Hey, Jim.
Good morning, John. How are you?
Doing well. How are you?
I'm doing fine, thank you. Doing fine. It was such a joy to hear you and JB talk. In fact, every weekend when you guys are talking, it's just a true testament to the loyalty that you have with your audience and what you have. I mean, heck, they've changed the format on the show. We've narrowed it down to an hour. It's an hour earlier than usual than we were before, and yet people still call in. They want to talk to you, and it's really great, John. So just
appreciate that.
Keep up the great work.
Thank you,
John. I think that the whole thing about McCoy, I think you're right. I think he'd be better off being in Indianapolis. Heck, they pair him up with Danico Autry, 4-3, man. That's a pretty stout defensive line right there in the middle.
Oh yeah, I'll tell you another team that I was interested is Atlanta. They don't have the cap room to be able to do it, but that could be an intriguing team to go to, because they didn't draft a defensive tackle to go next to Grady Jarrett, and McCoy would fit. But the problem is, I mean, they only have like $2 million of cap room. Now they can make room, but that makes it really tight.
Right. And since he's been in the South, he might want to stay in the South. But, you know, Frank Reich as a head coach, I mean, I think he's a good head coach.
I do too.
And he was a great player. I mean, you know, one of the greatest comebacks ever in NFL football playoff history was commandeered by Frank Reich, the old Maryland Terrapin. I really like him. He's just got a great attitude. Seems like a really wholesome and sincere guy.
Yeah, but, you know, and it's funny because I know I was talking to him about a year ago, and I was saying, I can't believe that you didn't allow yourself to be in the first wave of free agency. And his point was, it's like, listen, the Eagles just made the playoffs, and I didn't want to vary from what we were doing. I wanted to concentrate on getting the Eagles to the Super Bowl, which, you know, he ended up doing. And I thought that was great. I mean, he just showed his loyalty. And then Joshy Boy McDaniels decides, oh, yeah, I'm not going to take the job after getting all the assistants lined up and having all he screws all the assistants. And so what ends up happening next, Frank gets the job and is in a great spot. And, I mean, they're a Super Bowl contender.
Yes. Yeah, I mean, it's really a great story there. And I just really like the man, you know. And that's the great thing about football is, it's got its history and it's got its players and its personalities. It's just so wonderful. So, John, I overheard you earlier this week. I think it was on Thursday as opposed to Friday with Bob Gross and Tom. Mm-hmm. And, you know, you and I talked about what it means to be an elite quarterback in the NFL. We talked about, you know, completion percentage, you know, yards per attempt. We talked about their win-loss record and the fourth quarter comeback. I think that was the data that you gave me. But then you elaborated on it a bit as well with Bob Gross and Tom. He said, look, you know, you've got to have the complementary running back. You've got to have a good offensive line, to basically provide those holes for that running back. And you've got to have a stout defense so that, you know, you're not always on the field trying to catch up.
Right.
I thought that was brilliant. But it makes good sense because anyone that watches football knows these things, John.
Yeah. Oh, it's like, but that's the thing. Sometimes you have to remind yourself.
Yes. And, look, John Elway couldn't win a Super Bowl until he had Terrell Davis. Not that I think that Terrell Davis should be in the Hall of Fame.
Mm-hmm.
But you know what I'm saying?
Right.
Yeah. Yeah.
But that's okay. But that's the thing. It's like, I mean, the way that I look at it, because I went back and, you know, when that was the philosophy I used on Indianapolis and Seattle last year, because you have top five, top seven quarterbacks. Luck is great. Russell Wilson's great. And, you know, if you have a quarterback like that, your defense can give up less than 23 points a game and you can run the football, you're going to win 9 or 10 games with that quarterback.
You're golden. That's right. You're golden. That's exactly it. That's the recipe right there. And it's unfortunate that a lot of teams haven't figured that out, and or try to get to that point. I think a lot of them try to get to that point, but they either don't have the personnel or the wherewithal or the ability due to all kinds of financial constraints to do that.
Right.
You know, you gotta be a good chess player, John. And you know, let's face it. You know, John Snyder is one of the best. Let's face it. I mean, look at the success that the franchise has had since hiring him and Pete Carroll.
Right. Agreed.
No, I mean it's just. It's really great to witness, you know. I mean, I'm not a Seahawks fan, but I don't besmirch them either, like a lot of Raiders fans. I think that what they're doing is fantastic. John, what do you think about any surprises that you think are going to be happening in the offseason?
There's always surprises. I mean,
I know.
I mean, you knew that the McCoy thing was going to happen, but then you never know who's going to retire, who's going to make changes. You know, you always have to stay loose to see where things go. I mean, I think the biggest surprise this year is the fact that, and again, this is a growing trend, that I think the rich are getting richer. And what I mean by that is that I was counting it up right now. There's going to be 592 free agents next year. You know, guys, and that's because there's so many guys signing one-year deals. And so what ends up happening, you know, the bad teams, you know, spend all the money and trying to get better in free agency. But what that does, because you have a third of the teams, they're playing the compensatory game that, you know, they stay out of free agency. And that waters things down. So once you get past the first week, nobody's getting any money. And so better players now are starting to creep over past May 7th when you don't lose the compensatory picks. You know, that's when the unrestricted period ends and you got the street free agents. Because, I mean, look at Seattle is able to add six players and maybe two starters. You got New England. You know, they were able to get Jamie Collins, Danny Shelton. They've got a left tackle, but he retired in Gerald Beldier. They got Dontrell Inman. The Saints have signed about six guys pretty close to the minimum salary, including Sylvester Williams. I mean, I think that allows the rich to get richer. And then, of course, you also have the compensatory picks.
Yeah, I mean, we know that the Patriots are famous for that. But also, I think the one that really broke the mold to show people the way was the Baltimore Ravens with Ozzy there.
Uh-huh,
I mean,
uh-huh.
They were doing a great job with playing it that way. And speaking of the Patriots, you know, I often wonder, by the way, if they've got Beldier, that's pretty awesome because, of course, he was drafted by the Raiders, came from Division III Oakland College, I think it was, some other college in Michigan. And then he bounced down to the Cardinals, and I think he was with Denver for a year or two, and now he's with the Patriots. I'm not surprised there. I mean, he's a really great player, but he just has to stay healthy. But, I mean, can we talk about the freaking AFC East? I mean, can we all start rooting for the Buffalo Bills, the Miami Dolphins, and the Jets, please?
Well,
can they get their act together?
Hold back on
so
the Jets.
Really compete?
The way things have gone in the last week. Yeah, but because you'd like the run to end, but right now, I mean, all it does, because you know the Bills had at least have a chance. They added 15 free agents. They got a second year quarterback. You know, they've been very aggressive everywhere, but is it going to be good enough? And it probably isn't. I mean, the Patriots, because I mean, you think of that, now the Patriots were able to get all these Pro Bowl guys back and not have to pay them. I mean, they paid $2 million for Jamie Collins. They paid $1,030,000 for Danny Shelton. It's like, wow.
Incredible. Just incredible. And, I'm sure you'll talk to Jed about the Jets. I mean, for God's sakes, what the heck is going on over there, for heaven's sakes? I mean, you'd like to see them compete. I mean, I love Joe Namath, too, but we can't keep banking our hopes on the fact that they can, you know, be competitive, for heaven's sakes.
Uh-huh. No,
I mean,
it's
you
bizarre.
Have to wonder, you know, Belichick is great. Let's not dismiss that. He's great. He's a great coach. So is Tom Brady. But, you know, you have to wonder – how great are they when they don't really have to compete like other divisions have in the past for playoff spots? They really don't have to.
Uh-huh.
I mean, the Jets have been terrible. The Bills have been mediocre. And Dolphins are just woeful.
It's bizarre.
It's incredible.
No, it really is. And again, it's all set up for them to do it again. Hey, have a great weekend, Jim. Thank you.
Okay, John. Bye-bye.
866-979-ESPN, 206-421-ESPN. Let's go to Mike in Renton. Hey, Mike.
Hey, good morning, John.
Good morning. How are you?
I'm good. Hey, John, I was listening to you earlier in the week on one of the shows on ESPN.
Yeah.
And you were talking about the question came up that you're not a fan, so you don't root for a team.
Right.
But do you show interest in a particular team, but you don't reveal it?
Well, you show interest in all the teams. I mean, you know, the bad teams you don't, but you know, you show interest because, again, what you root for is the story. You may root for what's going to be great for the sport. Yeah, I mean, that's what you root for. But the big thing is, yeah, I just have to stay neutral because I got to cover. I mean, that's the thing. It's like I can't be a fan. That's just not in the equation.
Hey, John, I've seen a segment on Fox Sports on Deshaun Shedd. He's out of football, but he's trying to make a comeback, and, man, he's got the desire and determination. I just wish the Steelers could take a look at him.
Yeah.
You think he'll get picked up?
Maybe right before camp. You know, you get a few injuries. You have a few needs. I mean, you've now sorted through all the undrafted guys and all the guys on your 90-man roster, and he's certainly good enough. And that's the thing. It's like the problem, and this, you know, you've seen it now affected by a lot of the players. You know, they're out there. They're good. They're starters. They're good players. But you know, if teams aren't bidding on you, then you sit there and wait. And then like Jermaine Kearse. I mean, Jermaine Kearse has been wanting to get to the Seahawks or some team, but there's only so many slots that are open at the moment, and you just have to wait and wait and wait. And the longer you wait, the less money you make.
Couldn't his other option? He could go over to play in the Canadian League.
No, if you do that, then you have to sign pretty much a 2-year contract, 1 year with an option, and so then you're out of the National Football League for 2 years, unless you get cut.
Do you follow any of those teams in that Canadian League?
I haven't in years. I used to, but not anymore.
Yeah, some of those games are kind of boring.
Mm-hmm. It's different.
Yeah, it's different way the field is laid out. It's just I don't like that where the wide receiver gets a running start.
Mm-hmm.
I don't care much for that.
Yeah, but no, I think it's good. I mean, hey, listen, all football is good, and so that's football, and so it's a little bit different. You know, I would track it. I used to track it more when they were kind of competing against the NFL because they were getting good players and signing them. But it's just because I have so many things I have to cover that that's one of the things that just doesn't get on the priority list.
Okay, John, it's been good talking to you. Take care.
All right, thank you. 866-979-ESPN, 206-421-ESPN. John Clayton Show, 710 ESPN Seattle.
Now, more John Clayton on 710 ESPN Seattle and 710sports.com.
866-979-ESPN, 206-421-ESPN. Let's go to Mike in Edmonds. Hey, Mike.
Hey, John. Thanks for doing this.
Thank you.
Despite what DePoto says, and I really like Jerry DePoto, I don't see the Mariners competitive in 2021 even. They have too many holes to fill, and the guys aren't up here yet that are going to fill them. And it makes me think that the chances of DePoto surviving the retooling are getting less, and an organizational change like a new GM is an even bigger step back than what we're seeing. So I guess I'm just concerned for the Mariners in general.
Well, I wasn't endorsing the teardown. I thought that, because, again, it's like this fan base has waited so long for wins, and the American League is, so vulnerable right now because you've got six teams other than Seattle that are breaking it down and trying to build it back up. So, this is one where, and you saw it at the beginning of the season, like against the bad teams, the Mariners could win. Against the good teams, they struggle to compete. And, you can see that it'll get better as time goes on because, you can replace the bad fielders. Because, again, some of the guys like Evan White's a good fielding first baseman. The outfield guys are good fielders. So that's okay. You can see that, J.P. Crawford is not a bad fielder. So that will get better. And that is a matter of getting a bullpen. And the bullpen has just been awful, third worst in baseball. So again, that's the strategy, but, you know, you can see the prospects, and, you know, it looks like, and again, this is where you highly endorse DePoto. It looks like they may have gotten the best end of the Mets deal, because Robinson Cano's already been benched twice for just not running out balls and not hustling. And, you know, that team is on the verge of firing its manager, and they're a disaster. Although they're like, what, 5 games below .500 or something like that. But, you know, they got some of the best prospects from the Mets, and they look encouraging.
Well, agreed with all that, and yet the prospects that they need to be in the field, like Evan White and Kyle Lewis and even Evan Kelenic, are still a ways away from the majors. And to throw them all on the field by even 2021 is expecting and then to be instantly competitive. That doesn't make sense.
No, it does make sense. I mean, it takes a couple years when you take picks like that, but by 2021, you'd have to think that that would be the timing where it would work.
Well, and they only have two guys in their starting rotation right now that are going to be on the pitching staff come 2021. So I'd say there's still a lot of work and a lot of you have to hope that a lot of those prospects really pan out. So.
Right, agreed.
Makes me worry for DePoto.
Yeah. No, let's put it this way. They're well down that path. Now, to go away from that path would make it even longer.
Yes,
then you're talking 25 years probably of not getting back to the playoffs. I mean, it's
exactly right. Yeah.
That's why it's like you got to, you know, at this stage, there's no choice. You have to stay with DePoto. Have to.
I hope so.
Well, I'm sure they will.
Okay, thanks,
right,
John.
Thank you. 866-979-ESPN, 206-421-ESPN. Let's go to Tara in Mercer Island. Hey, Tara.
Hi, Mr. Clinton. How are you today?
I'm doing well. How are you on this weekend?
I'm great. What did you think of the Seahawks OTAs?
I thought it was pretty good. I mean, you know, what you like is the volume that they have. I like the speed that I saw in the field. I like, you know, the fact that they've loaded up in a lot of different positions to a point where it's going to be hard to figure out who's going to get cut. I mean, they have more wide receivers and they have spots that they're going to keep. Same thing, you can look at up and down every position. I like some of the things I saw from Paxton Lynch. Didn't see Geno Smith because he wasn't there for the Tuesday practice. I like the wide receivers. Amari Darbo looks like he's making a nice little bounce back and maybe making a little bit of a run to see if he can make the team. Then you can see that, you know, DK Metcalf looks great. The running backs look good, even though, again, they didn't have Chris Carson. So I was encouraged.
That's great news. I was listening to you on Danny, Dave, and Moore, mm-hmm. and a little bit after you got off, they were talking about the wide receiver chemistry. And they thought Russell wouldn't be on the same page. I disagree with that. I think with OTAs, rookie mini camp, that's a lot of time to get together. What do you think?
Well, see, that's the thing. I mean, the OTAs and the rookie mini camp and that really gives the receivers a chance to do a lot of things. Then the cornerbacks have to match up and catch up because, again, you don't have any hitting or all that stuff. But also, I think you can see that how the pass catchers work with the quarterback, that's so important, and that was very encouraging. So, no, I think that there's a lot of things you can learn because, again, you can see there's talent. I mean, they got tall receivers, fast receivers, guys to work in the slot. They've got, you know, a lot of offensive linemen. You know, there's a lot of good things. Now it's a matter of just, you know, honing things up and then getting ready for training camp.
I'm a little bit worried about Rasheem Green. Do you think he'll step up?
He looked a little bit better. Again, it's hard. The defensive lineman, it's a little hard to see, particularly a bigger defensive lineman, because what happens is that you're out there and, you know, you don't get to use all the full moves because you can't hit anybody. I mean, you can't, you know, use a bull rush. I mean, so it's harder to see some of the defensive end unless they're quick. I mean, the quick guys you get to see. But no, it looks like he's advanced, and it's going to be a good competition between him and L.J. Collier.
That's great. I watched the Husky softball game mm-hmm. yesterday, and that's a highlight of my week. Coach Tarr reminds me a lot of Pete Carroll's coaching style. Very positive. And I ran into her at the airport, and she was going to coach the USC Olympics. Softball team, so she's very highly regarded. Have you seen them?
I haven't seen them yet, but boy, they've been fantastic. They were great last year. It's a great win last night. And you just got to applaud all the stuff that's going on there. I mean, it's just well coached, well played, and I think it's great.
Thank you for taking my call.
Thank you, Tara. 866-979-ESPN, 206-421-ESPN. Let's go to Patrick in Kent. Hey, Patrick.
Hey, John.
Yes.
How's it going?
Good.
This past week in the NFL, a new rule for television has changed. The single-header rule has been eliminated. What do you thought of that?
I thought it was good. The more football, the better. That's what I like. And so I like that idea. And, you know, sometimes I kind of wondered why you would hold back. I mean, just because you got a home game, you got to sell out and all that stuff. It's like, have every game on. I mean, that's what people want to see. You know, and particularly now, you know, the viewers are more selective. Like, for example, you know, a lot of the millennials, they watch the Red Zone channel because they get more action, less commercials. So I never understood, you know, why you would hold back on the single header. So I think that's a very good thing.
So that means when the Seahawks are playing at home,
yeah,
the other station can show the other game. Is that
right?
Correct?
That's correct.
All right. Thanks a lot, John.
Yeah, because in other words, there's going to be three games that'll be, you know, all through the, because you'll have the 10 o'clock, you'll have the 1:15, and then you'll have the night game. And so that it fills up just about everything. So I think that's a very good thing. And sometimes you wonder, it's like, you know, why did they hold that back? 866-979-ESPN, 206-421-ESPN. It's the John Clayton Show, 710 ESPN Seattle.
You're listening to The John Clayton Show on 710 ESPN Seattle and 710sports.com.
And our thanks for Matt Nelson for running the show, producing the show. Give us a call at 866-979-ESPN, 206-421-ESPN. I know Irish Mankey's having trouble getting through the line here, but just dial in as fast as you can here and get in. Coming up next is going to be Seattle Sports Saturday. And so let's go to Jet. Oh, boy, Jet. How are you?
Dr. John. How's it going?
Good. How's it going for you?
Well, we're searching, John.
That's true.
The search is on. We are now searching for a new GM. And until then, Adam Gase has the keys to the kingdom. Perhaps afterwards, Adam Gase will have the keys to the kingdom. And we're searching, John. I'm searching. I can't tell you any more than that. I'm searching. I'm diving deep, and I'm searching.
But the problem is I think you already know what the search is already done. Adam's going to get his guy, Joe Douglas, or he's going to get his guy, Champ Kelly. You know, you notice the first two guys that they're interviewing are guys that, and requested interviews, are guys that he's worked with. I mean, this is now an Adam Gase team.
But he's only a small part of the process, John. He's just part of the committee that's part of the search. He's made some recommendations, and that's all he's doing, really. It's nothing more than that, John.
Oh yeah,
he's just coaching the team.
Just coaching
really
the team.
No interest in. Nope. He has no interest in being involved in the personnel, John. And you know, it's going to be the new GM, and they're going to answer directly to the Johnsons.
Oh yeah, and of course that's why he says once he shrunk the scouting department by firing a guy. He made the Darren Lee trade. He cut a seventh round. He kind of picked up in Jordan Leggett, who had four teams claim on him, and that means he probably could have got a seventh round pick in a trade because he had so many teams interested. Yep, it looks like he's just going to take a passive approach.
Yep, he's not interested, John. It's not about that.
Right.
And I'll tell you, I was furious when I saw that he cut Jordan Leggett and didn't get anything for him.
Yeah.
Because the kid's got some potential. You know, I understand it's a Maccagnan guy, and they've got two tight ends now. They drafted another one this year, and Herndon is looking good.
Mm-hmm.
But, you know, they could have gotten something out of Jordan Leggett. He could have been a fine number three tight end. He picked up his blocking. He put on some weight last year, you know, and like you mentioned, there's several claims that were placed on him, and you're absolutely right. You know, they could have gotten something for him, but he just ditched him because I think he's a Maccagnan guy. But, you know, John, he's got no concerns about that. He's just going to coach.
Oh, yeah, absolutely. And you can see that.
I'm searching, John. I'm searching. We're all searching. I don't know what I'm searching for, but I'm just waiting for Bozo the Clown to finally just pop up and say, I'm really the one in charge, and welcome to the New York Jets.
I mean, it's a disaster. And that's the problem. I mean, that's the thing, because I like Adam. My fear is he's going to make some of the same mistakes he made down in Miami at chasing too many players away.
Yes, that's exactly my concern, John. And because they just went through the bloodletting the last 2 years to try to clean that clubhouse out.
Right.
And I think, you know, they've done a pretty good job of that. But it's cost them, you know. And I don't want to keep paying this stupid price just because of the coach's ego, which I think is what we're looking at this point in time. But, yeah, exactly. He chased all the talent out of Miami. And I don't know what's going to happen. But the thing is, what's interesting now, the situation he's currently in, because they kept Maccagnan in there, and think about this for a second. They've tied a lot of these guys into big three-year guaranteed contracts.
Right.
You know, to try to eat up the space before Darnold hits the, you know, hits the jackpot financially. So I don't know how many of these guys he's going to be able, he may alienate them. I don't know how many of these guys he can actually afford to chase away because of the big guarantees that were given in the offseason.
Mm-hmm.
So, like, for example, Le'Veon Bell, he's got to make peace with them, you know, and we'll see how well that goes. But
don't you get the feeling that next year he's going to trade him? And the reason I say that is because, you know, he doesn't think a running back should be paid that kind of money.
And, you know, and that's fine, John. And quite frankly, I don't necessarily disagree with him,
yeah,
to be honest with you. But the bottom line is, it's what you have right now. Okay, maybe you didn't like the decision, but right now this is what you have. Shut up and coach him.
Right.
You know, that's your job, is to be the coach. And this is where I get frustrated. You know, I didn't like the Le'Veon Bell signing either. But he's there. You know, management made that decision. Mm-hmm. I don't think Maccagnan made that decision. And the Johnsons wanted him. Come on.
Yeah.
Let's be honest about it. It was the big splash in New York that everybody wanted and needed. Everybody in the media thought that, oh, this is the guy that they need to turn the program around. Well, the bottom line is, does anybody have to scratch their head and say, well, gee, he's not going to be running behind the Pittsburgh Steelers offensive line anymore. He's running behind the New York Jet line. How good is a running back without an offensive line, John?
Right, agreed. And they don't have an offensive line. They didn't. They just didn't draft offensive linemen. It's brutal.
And yeah, exactly. You know what that offensive line looks like.
Yeah.
Maccagnan has avoided it for the last 4 or 5 years.
Uh-huh.
With a couple of fourth-round picks, or third round and fourth-round pick, and that was it. So, okay, great. We got Le'Veon Bell. Okay. What are you going to do with him? Who's going to block for him?
Right.
You know, so it's that thinking that it's John, just send the Prozac, man. Just keep it flowing.
Hey, hang in there. Remember, it's a holiday, so enjoy.
Ho, ho, ho.
Ho, ho, ho. 866-979-ESPN. 206-421-ESPN. Let's go to Victor in Auburn. Hey, Victor.
Hey, John. Another great show.
Oh, thank you.
Hey, a couple quick ones. Yeah. Hey, I'm interested in what you think the split share will be between Philip Lindsay and Royce Freeman at running back. Do you think Lindsay will be he's capable of being a three-down back?
I think so. Well, the one thing is, I mean, you know, he's a good pass catcher, but I think it's probably because, you know, he's not the biggest guy, so I don't think you want to wear him down too much. So I think probably what you do is you keep him to like about 14, 15 carries and then try to get, 10 or so with Freeman and, you know, maybe mix somebody else in too.
Do you think last year they had Lindsay running first and second down, and for some reason they were bringing him off the field for third down and letting Booker...
Yeah, that one I didn't understand.
Was it his pass blocking possibly?
Could be, because you're right about that. I mean, that you come from college and, you know, you're not real accustomed and you're not real big, and pass blocking could be the problem. You probably have identified what the issue is. And so you need that better pass blocker to at least just you be able to do it. But, you know, that's the one thing. I mean, you make that jump from the first year to the second year. I mean, he showed how good he was in the first year. Now it's a matter of just getting better in year two, and maybe he can get that blocking down.
Okay, yeah, because he's a dynamic player where he could break, you know, break long run or long plays at any time. And then one last question.
Yeah.
I want to know how you think the tight end is going to shake down. I know fans, you don't really expect a lot of production from a first-year tight end.
Oh, I do.
But I know with Butt coming back in Heroman, do you think Butt has a chance to stick as a semi-productive tight end?
Let's put it this way. It's better to have, the better guy, Noah Fant, do everything he can, because, I mean, yeah, they did a great job of getting him and loading it up. No, he's going to get most of it. And then the question is, how much two tight ends do they use?
Okay. Hey, John, hey, have a good weekend. Any
series
coming up? I heard you yesterday, but excellent job.
Ah, thank you so much. 866-979-ESPN, 206-421-ESPN. Let's go to Chris in Everett. Hey, Chris.
Hey, John, how you doing, man?
Good.
Hey, really
you?
two quick questions. I know you. I must be the last caller. So anyways, Jerry Capoto for the Seattle Mariners, I know he's a really good general manager. Was
right.
he the one who took the Los Angeles Angels to the World Series? Two, I want to talk about, like, real quick about Seattle Seahawks. Do you think it'll be for the Super Bowl champs. How many Super Bowl wins can Russell Wilson will bring to the Seattle Seahawks?
If this goes well, you know, maybe it's going to be more next year than this year. I think he can go to maybe two more. I mean, that's because at least you know if these guys if this group works out, then, you know, if it's not this year, maybe it's next year, they get a chance to get to the Super Bowl. And, you know, you notice there's a lot of volume there. So I think I can maybe two more, if possible.
Oh, okay.
Okay, hey, Chris, thank you. Let's go to Ed, and we'll close it out here. Hey, Ed.
Hey, John. Thanks for taking my call.
Yes.
Three questions for you. One, $23.9 million left in salary cap. What are the Seahawks going to do with it? Two, what is wrong with Amara Darbo? And three, why don't they bring in Jermaine Kearse? What could they have to lose?
Well, because right now, I mean, they've got three rookies that want to see if they can make the team. Darbo looked good this week. Darbo's made a dramatic improvement, and he's going to be, you know, fighting for the roster spot. And maybe because of Darbo, that probably keeps Kearse out, because now you bring him in. I mean, sure, he's got the experience, but, you know, you like what you see in Jaron Brown and all those different things. And so there's just no spot for him right now, unfortunately, or they would have done it. With the money, I mean, again, it's a matter that you can carry it over, but you want to try to get a Bobby Wagner deal done. You want to get Jaron Reed done. And remember, it's really not 23 now because, you know, the draft choices are pretty much eating up a lot of that stuff. So they're probably down to like about 13 or so, but they're in pretty good shape. You do a Wagner deal, you get more cash. Room. Hey, Ed, thank you for the phone call. Thank everybody for the phone call. Sorry if you're not weren't able to make it in. Coming up next, it's Seattle Sports Saturday. It's the John Clayton Show, 710 ESPN Seattle.